Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is June 1st, 2016. Mickey Fulp is with us for Mickey's Major Market Monthly Review, and it's for May 2016. Mickey, hello, hello, hello.
Hi, Kerry. How are you?
All right. All right. So May, sell in May and go away or be led astray?
Neither. You know, we were commenting before we started here about the low volatility. The VIX was under 15 most of the month. We have flat markets, low volatility. You know, this VIX, there's divergent views about what it means. The markets are certainly complacent, or some people will say when it looks like this, they're set up for a correction. Huh. Well, we've been saying they're set up for correction for a couple of years now. It doesn't seem to be going to happen anytime soon. That said, the Dow touched 18,000 over the month, but finished 17,787, essentially flat. S&P 500 is still pushing its all-time high. It closed the month at 2097. I think it briefly got above 2100. NASDAQ had a good month. 49.48 was the close, up 3.5%. And the Russell 2000 was up 2% to 1155.
Yeah, not a bad month for the broader indices, for sure. And then we look at our overseas markets here?
Yeah, so the Toronto Big Board had kind of a whole month, like much like the regular big markets in the U.S. Closed the month at 1466, up a little less than percent. The Venture Exchange had an interesting month. It consolidated the entire month. It was pretty much range-bound. It touched a high of 690. It looked like it was going to go above the 52-week high, which is about that range now. But with negativity of gold over the month, it's been consolidating. I find that encouraging. It was up 0.5%, closed at 678. Very encouraging that despite a very negative month for the precious metals, the Toronto Venture Exchange remained in consolidation mode. Meanwhile, Chinese PMI came in at 50.1, yeah, right at 50 for the third consecutive month. The emerging markets continue to struggle. That index was down almost 4% of the month. I don't think that can be put on the blame put on the Chinese on that, but certainly the other of the BIX, Brazil, just is a mess and had a horrible month, both on the political and economic, and the Olympics coming and violence and murders in the streets. So Brazil's a mess. Maybe that's has a lot to do with the emerging market index.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Broke 800. It was trading in the 700s a few months back. And it was at 840 the end of last month, and then, I should say, end of April. And now it looks like it's heading back down. And we'll just have to see what to make of that. But it's certainly not an encouraging trend there. So we shoot over to our currencies, and everything is coming up the dollar again for the month.
Yeah. Well, the dollar last month briefly went below 93. For the first time in, geez, I don't know, quite some time.
It was years almost.
Yeah, I'm looking back to maybe 14? January of 2015.
Yeah.
Last time it was that low.
Exactly.
But it's been up and away this entire month. Closed just under 96 at 95.85 for another 3% gain over the month. Of course, the euro was down almost equally. It closed at 111. I think part of the thing that's overhanging the euro right now is the exit, potential exit of Great Britain from the European Union. That vote is on June 23rd. The latest numbers I see from The Guardian is 52 to 48 in favor of leaving. Personally, I don't see why Britain should be in the European Union to begin with. 10-year treasury flat over the month, closed the rate, closed at 1.84. You know, every time old Yeller gets up, there's some movement anticipation in the market. Yeah. I don't really think we're going to see a rate increase. You know, I just, I end up watching part of what she does every time. I find her very hard to look at and very hard to listen to with that accent.
Don't be sexist, Mickey. So don't be sexist, but I agree with you on both counts. It's hard to watch somebody.
Well, does that make you sexist, Carrie?
I hope so. But what it is, what it really comes down to is when somebody is lying to you constantly, whether it's a politician or a central banker, eventually you just can't stand to look at the people because you're so disgusted by everything they're doing and what they stand for.
Well, exactly right. We could have said that about Helicopter Ben. And
same
Greenspan
deal.
Is always been one of the hardest people to look at. But yeah, I mean, they get up there and they say nothing. So the fact they're saying nothing, I think, exacerbates those situations.
Yeah, I just find them very aggravating and really frustrating. And you might hate Donald Trump, but at least you understand what that guy says. And it might not be right, but he doesn't leave any ambiguity. All these guys are masters of ambiguity. But I'll tell you one thing that was not ambiguous for the month and hasn't been ambiguous for the past 4 months. And that is Bitcoin, right?
Yeah.
Bitcoin's on a tear.
50% over the month. It had this exponential run since the 21st of May up to the upside, closed at 522 and change yesterday. I have no idea why. You follow that market more than I
will.
What's
tell
going
you
with Bitcoin, Karen?
So I was talking with Andy Hoffman, and he informed me 90% of the volume, the trading volume in Bitcoin, you know what country it takes place in? China. So obviously, if you don't have a lot of money, but you're a Chinese gambler, you throw your yuan into Bitcoin and you wait for the devaluation, which is exactly what happened. And I guess if you're close to the scene in China, you know it's coming. How else are you going to protect your meager savings?
Well, you could buy gold
too, but gold hasn't been that favorable. But Bitcoin, now that it broke through technical marks 400, 450, 475, 500. And today we don't need to discuss it because we'll cover it next month, but it's over 525 today. Those are technical markers, more emotional points than resistance points, but they do matter. And it's China driven. It's really that simple.
So it's pure speculation as it is. There's nothing else going for it. So it's people trying to game the Chinese yuan, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And getting money out of the yuan has never been easier. There's merchants, there's brokers. I mean, everybody's in the Bitcoin business in China. It's amazing the scale, the scope of the market. So
I had no idea.
Oh, it's huge there. And so you look at it almost as a China play. And I think you'll be well served by it. And really, with the turmoil in currency markets, it looks like it could keep going up a while. I mean, we're looking at over the past 4 months, it had one down month. So, and it was down 4% March. But after that, otherwise, you look at these numbers from where it went. It was down below 200 intra-month. Back in July, I guess it was, of 15. And so broke 200 then, and then it started going up from there. And I don't think its advance is completed yet, Mickey. I really don't.
Well, it's still got a long ways to go before it gets even near its all-time high. It's only 40% of that, doing the math quickly in my head. All-time high, at least on a month close, I have at 11.25, and that would have been in the end of November of 2013. So from that point of view, it can go up a lot more. Speaking of things that did not go up a lot more,
oh yeah,
the precious metals, my gosh. Yeah, we had a big correction in the precious metals over the month, led by gold. Briefly went below 1,200, I think, on Thursday of last week. It refused to breach that downtick resistance. It's finished the month at 1,215. That said, I really expect gold to test the 1,200 high 1,100 resistance area here. And, you know, we're coming into the summer doldrums right now. Can pretty much predict that sometime between mid-June and mid-August that gold is going to hit a yearly if not a yearly low. So I fully expect testing of these levels. Silver was down 10% over the month, closed below $16. Platinum and palladium, respectively, down 9% and 12%. So it was really just a bad month for all the metals. Even copper down 7% over the month. It was mucking around in the $2.07, $2.09 range. The real concern here for copper, at least in the, let's say in the short term, and let's define that out of, say, toward the end of the year, the forward curve is negative for the next year. Copper's been in backwardation here for well over a month, maybe, and in severe backwardation, you know, 4 cents on the month contract. So, a negative forward curve for an entire year is not a good sign for the copper market.
No, and not a good sign for the world economy either.
Well, true, Kerry. Yeah. We kind of ignored that. You know, a lot of people like to say that Dr. Copper is no longer a valid concept, but it's been a valid concept for a long time. You'd think that it's telling us something. I mean, right now, this is the peak of the construction season in North America, and we would certainly expect a stronger copper price at this juncture.
Yeah, well, hey, the world runs on copper. Construction, all sorts of other applications. You know it all. We don't need to get into it. But when you see inherent weakness in it, and you saw it was trying to break out, it hit 229 last month, and then I should say in April, and then just cratered last month, cratered, absolutely. So when you see that, and then you watch, you look at the pattern, because one of the great things of doing these monthly reviews, Mickey, is that we can go look back in history. None of those commentators that you love to read so much ever do that, except every now and then when it makes a new high or a new low, then they'll say, oh, it's a new high, 18-month high. But when we look at our charts here, Mickey, and you look, just have to look at the first number, which is 2, because after it went below 3, which was back in October of 14, it's never come back up, and it's only been going lower. Looks like it's kind of hitting a base maybe, but after last month, you have to wonder, could it break $2?
Well, it did break $2 on January 20th when everything I track was red, 13 indices and metals and money and markets. And it briefly went below, hit $1.96, but it bounced right off of that. You know, certainly I think that $2 is very strong resistance. If copper breaks $2, and I just don't think it can stay there very long because there's just too much production in the world that loses money at those prices.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, we've seen these situations happen before, and it's broken $2, but staying under $2, I mean, that would be a gigantic the world. You know, that's gigantic
speculation. I just don't think it's going to happen. Although I didn't think that oil was going to break $30. We rightly called the bottom on January 20th, bang on that, when it went below $27, briefly hit $50.
Yes.
At the end of last week, Thursday or Friday, can't remember which day, you know, one of the things going on in the oil market right now, we continue to have production come off, But it's been balanced with some severe supply disruptions. One of those is very temporary. That's the wildfires up in Fort McMurray and oil sands country of northern Alberta. But all this terrorism and violence in Nigeria directed specifically at oil facilities, that is a major supply disruption that is not going to be remedied anytime soon. So what we are seeing, what analysts' consensus is right now, we're always careful about putting too much stock in analysts' consensus, but that we're headed toward a balanced supply-demand market for oil, certainly by the end of the year. Very encouraging. WTI closed the month at 49.10. Here's an interesting thing we've seen here this month, and that's Brent is now on par with WTI, closed the month at 49.16. I don't know, because it has not happened since we started doing this show, four and a half years ago. We have never seen WTI and Brent at par, and that happened.
Yeah, you're correct. You are correct. And I don't know exactly what to make of it, but we were always talking of trying to figure out a way to arbitrage the difference between the two, because it was substantial at certain points, 10, 15, 20%. And now, now they're at par. So makes you wonder. I just wonder if there's going to be a glut of oil hitting the market from Iran, from other sources, because they just keep pumping. The OPEC is pumping full out. Nobody's cutting back here. We always said that the glut, the so-called glut, was not that significant on a long-term basis, but on a short-term basis, when you're 2 million barrels a day over consumption, it could be substantial and could really disrupt the markets.
But right now that oversupply has gone below 1 million barrels a day. Now, part of that is due to the oil sands wildfires, which have not affected any of the facilities, but they've evacuated the workers, basically.
Of course,
The thing about the supply-demand balance of oil is that demand continues to increase. I mean, look at demand. We're up. We've been, even in the worst of times, we're producing 95 million barrels a day worldwide. And but the demand continues to go up. We're approaching 94 million barrels of demand per day. So at some point that will balance out.
Yeah. Yep. I
it's
totally
oversupply. It's not lessening of demand. I guess briefly to say what in a few words what I was trying to get across.
Yeah, absolutely. I think and this is a economic trough, and yet consumption goes up. So if and when we hit the next prosperity peak, what's going to happen to oil then? You got to imagine that the former highs could easily become historic highs, and future highs could really go up really quick too. You never know when these things are going to happen. They don't announce themselves.
You don't. And I'm seeing projections of $60 oil by year end. Now, if we get to $60, $65 oil, here come the drill rigs in the U.S. again. Netbacks and probably average netback is generated at $45 oil for all shale oil producers in the U.S. $50 oil is not going to get the drill rigs moving out again, but certainly 60 will.
Yeah, for sure. And 65 is really where then they just start
we'll
coming
be going
online
again in the U.S. if that happens, I'll guarantee you.
Oh, for sure. So, hey, we look at our nat gas there, boy, the Henry Hub. It's just in a world of pain here.
Well, it is, and that's with summer coming on. It was down 4% over the month, closed at 209. So we expect inventories to go down. We expect used to go up as we get into the air conditioning season. But, you know, the outlook for natural gas in the U.S. is not positive.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, we're hitting summer, so we'll see what happens with the season, the cooling season, if that brings it back. And yeah, this winter was really a bad one for nat gas compared to last winter. You know, it was warm in the Northeast, so we got a glut again. And again, it's a case of production. Even though the prices are so low, there's still increasing output in a lot of places in the country. So what's going to be in the future? We will see. But looking at the ratios, hey, they start to tell an interesting story there. Silver to gold, it's going back up again. What do you make of it, Mickey?
Well, it's the weakness of silver. I think silver got a little bit ahead of itself. It was extremely oversold compared to gold. Gold made the run. Silver caught back up. We've seen a little weakness in the silver market, weakness in the palladium market. So the movement in those ratios, I think, had more to do with silver and palladium weakness over the month versus gold and platinum strengths.
All right. So, Mickey, you know, market's pretty dull for the most part. Metals are down. Dollar's up. Bitcoin way up. And your favorite uranium is still in the dumps here. What's the trend telling you here? What are you looking down the road at?
There's really nothing to say about the uranium market. There's an oversupply with no short-term demand, so still below $28. I don't expect it to move. Summertime's usually a down period for the uranium market, as it is for all markets. Oil's up. I expect gold to muck around here, hit a seasonal low sometime in the next couple of months, and get ready for a summer doldrums.
Yeah, so maybe sell in May and go away might not be too far from the truth, but time will tell us that. So anyways, that's it for our Mickey's Major Market Monthly Review for May. Come back around July 1st or 2nd, and we'll have the review for June in, and we'll see where the trends are heading, because the trend, it might not be your friend, but you better pay attention.
You certainly do.